We are back, Brian and Pete. First time in back a long time.
Like old times.
Yeah, the old couple is back together here. My special guest, if you didn't know already, Pete Carey, LMBF. NBA expert, if you will. Extraordinaire. Savant, whatever word you prefer.
Keep going bigger. Bigger. I want to see if you can try.
Sar?
Whatever you need.
Commissioner. We're here. It's NBA trade deadline week. The deadline is tomorrow, Thursday, for those of you listening. We're recording Tuesday night, so if we mix it up, just be aware of that. So far, we've seen fireworks come out with the Knicks dealing Kristaps Porzingis to the Mavs. Hayes and I talked about it a little bit on 5-Minute Friday, but the full breakdown of the deal is going from New York to Dallas is Porzingis, Tim Hardaway Jr., and Courtney Lee coming from Dallas to New York, DeAndre Jordan, Dennis Smith Jr., Wes Matthews, 2021 first-round pick that's unprotected, and a 2023 first-round pick that's top 10 protected. I think the consensus here is that the Mavs got the better of this deal, but if the chips fall the way the Knicks are playing them, the Knicks will obviously win it because their goal is a big free agent splash, correct?
Yeah, honestly, I've leaned more towards, like, there's two sides of this, right? Like, there's the conventional wisdom that the Knicks are the kazoos,
right?
As Zach likes to call them, and that they're just a bumbling, massive organization.
Right.
And even if they think they're going to get Kevin Durant and Kyrie this summer.
Or even Zion.
Whatever they think they're going to be able to get, that they made this deal to free up space, essentially, for. I mean, I tend not to believe it. I still don't understand the logic of people saying, oh, it's New York, so the Knicks are always a player.
Right.
The only thing they have is they have a cool stadium. Like,
and honestly, like, when the Knicks are bad, the Garden is not a fun place to be. It's all foreigners, and it's all people that are on vacation there that don't really know what the hell's going on.
And it's like, if you're bad in New York, people hate you.
Yeah, you get it 24/7, walking down the street, at the games, like, no matter what, you're going to get it. Even, I mean, look at Porzingis. He was, at one point, like the second coming of Jesus Christ in Latvian version, and now he's just like completely discarded as if New Yorkers never even gave a damn about him. What's appealing about that?
Yeah, like New York, like they start, like by default, they will hate you to start.
Yes.
And then you have to earn it. Yeah, you have to earn it. And a select few will be beloved, like Clyde Frazier, I'm sure, still never pays for a drink in the city of New York City, but.
He owns a bar on, this is a side story, complete tangent, but he owns a bar on, like, the Lower East Side, like, near, I don't know, like, in the 20s, I believe, that has a mini half-court basketball court in the bar.
Oh, my God.
It's awesome.
Do they have padded walls? Because I will guarantee you to trip and fall into a wall.
So it's padded walls, and then there's, like, a big glass wall that is facing, like, the rest of the bar.
I actually do have a drunk basketball story that the night that the U of I beat Indiana when they were ranked number one overall.
Yep.
I was at the game and rushed the court and the whole shebang, whole nine yards. Got a text right after that, like on the court, saying, "Hey, we still have an intramural game. Are you going to be there? we only have five." So I am just pissed drunk, and I'm like, "Okay, yeah, I'll be there." And so I go back to my house, get dressed, make my way over, first play of the game, get fouled, go to the free throw line, air ball wide left about 3 feet.
Oh,
and
man.
I just like have to hit myself in the face. I was like, all right, this is going to be a long game. I ended up being the leading scorer that game with, I think, 7.
It did not go well for you guys, I take it.
No, it wasn't a great game, but no. Playing drunk basketball is just another world.
Somehow we got there from talking about the Knicks, which is, I mean, that's kind of what the Knicks are doing right now. They're playing drunk basketball.
That's what James Dolan does, just with more money.
Yes.
But, I don't know. I guess, some serious thoughts on the Knicks. Like, their thought process was, they wanted to have two max slots for this summer,
mm-hmm.
and they were gonna have to attach a first round pick to get off of Tim Hardaway's and or's Courtney Lee's contracts. So yep. They were betting that getting two first round picks and having the cap space to get for those two slots was better than having to give up a first round pick and bank on the risk that Porzingis would still be 100% or close to 100% and would resign.
I think it's just
in the aggregate, I think that's a fair risk that they took, and it makes sense.
Right. I think it shows a lot of thinking from both Porzingis and the Knicks side. Like you were mentioning, the Knicks are very unsure because this is a young guy who's gone out for the year twice now with injuries. And is it worth passing up this potential huge chance for the organization to actually be relevant for the first time since, what, the early Melo years or mid-Melo years? I don't even – at least a decade. Uh-huh. And, you know, on Porzingis' side, it's like, what the fuck is this team doing? Like, what am I sitting here for? What am I part of the future? What is the future? Like, what are we looking at? And instead, they go out and get a guy who's struggling like crazy, Dennis Smith Jr., who's at this point almost getting compared to Markelle Fultz, if Markelle Fultz wasn't so ridiculous. And then they pick up two expiring contracts with DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews. So I think the play is clear that it's a cash grab. But was the price too high? I mean, I think that'll remain to be seen. But you got to love it if you're a Mavs fan. You've got Luka and Kristaps potentially long-term with the opportunity to go and get someone else.
It's just taller Nash and Dirk.
Yes, essentially, it is.
No, 2 points on what you just said. You glossed over the Melo Knicks years without saying one bad thing about Carmelo. I will applaud you for that. I've never seen you once do that.
I feel bad for the guy at this point. Like, he kind of wants to play basketball, and no one wants him to. He's been traded, what, like two or three times since the Thunder decided to stop, or the Rockets decided to stop playing him, and now he's just, like, in purgatory and waiting for the deadline to pass so he can go sign with someone and maybe play, like, 15 minutes.
The funny thing is what he is now hit the last member. He's got waived by the Bulls, and so he's formerly a Chicago – Carmelo Anthony, formerly of the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
The Bulls era – the Bulls-Melo era was a great one.
Oh, didn't miss a shot.
He was perfect.
Never committed a turnover.
Yeah.
Quick aside on the Bulls. Antonio Blakeney was assigned to the G League today, and a nice stat came out that he had 275 shots this season for shot attempts – and 265 passes, not assists, passes. He passed the ball less than he took a shot. And I, honest to God, I respect the shit out of him for it because there was no incentive for him to play team basketball on a team so bad. And he was so blatantly, obviously trying to get paid and get a contract out of any time he got in the court. And I kind of respect him for it.
Yeah, I love the move, especially because it's a win-win for Bulls fans. Like, if he does well, he's trade bait. And if he does poorly, then they're going to lose. Like, what more do you need out of a guy like Antonio Blakeney? You're literally taking a flyer on a two-way player that may or may not make it in the league. But I guess that's a good segue now, though. What do you think? Are the Bulls going to make a move? There's been talks about Jabari Parker getting traded, potentially to the Lakers for a guy like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Robin Lopez has an expiring contract, I believe. Felicio makes a ton of money to play like 4 minutes a night. I don't like what else? What can they do?
I mean, I've been seeing the reports for KCP for Jabari deals, and I don't know if that, like, why either side would do that. I feel like it's just like it's like the same thing they did with what was it last year? They traded Michael Carter-Williams.
Yeah,
it's just swapping shit for shit.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, why don't we
team swap second round picks? It's like, you know.
Well, to make noise. It's just like, hey, we don't like this guy, you don't like that guy. Why don't we try and see if it works elsewhere? And
right.
But this is even worse because they're both on expiring deals on pretty big money. Like Jabari's 20 mil a year. KCP is at 12.
What is the deal with KCP's house arrest, too? Is that over? Is he allowed to leave L.A.?
It's got to be over. I have no idea what's going on with that.
that was very quietly played piece of last year's season.
I completely forgot about that. And I'm sure Garpax did, too, because if they heard a man of such low moral character on house arrest, he'd hang up the phone immediately. But no, unless the Lakers attach like a second rounder to that deal,
they love the seconds.
To have a flyer at Jabari for half a season, I see no purpose to that KCP deal. And then outside of that, Felicio, we'd have to attach a pick to get off his money. Right. And Robin Lopez, I think he's getting paid a little bit too much for what to be able to get any kind of deal, like a pick for him. And you know what? Having one veteran player on the team just to keep Jim Boylan from running them into the ground.
Right.
And like Zach LaVine just beating the shit out of him at some point, mm-hmm. I think is good for them.
Yeah, and I think this kind of also segues, again, we're doing a great job here, into the Anthony Davis talk. There was talk that the Lakers were going to facilitate the Bulls to be a third team in this deal, and that maybe Michael Beasley or Lonzo Ball was coming to Chicago. First, I guess, do you think the Lakers are going to get a deal done? The last reported offer, I believe, was Hart, Zubac, Ingram, Kuzma, Ball, and 2 first-round picks, which is essentially half a team and 2 first-round picks for AD and Solomon Hill. And it sounded like the Pelicans were not even close to interested in it. There have been like absurd figures, like 4 and 6 first-round picks thrown around as what the Pelicans want, and I don't even think that's possible. But do you think a deal gets done by the deadline for Anthony Davis, and would it be L.A. where he goes?
This entire trade negotiation reminds me of like in 2K franchise mode.
Yep.
When there's a young superstar that you know is just going to be a 99 in 3 years, and you try and trade every single thing on your team within the 4 slots to be able to get him, and the team is just every time deny, not even like a counter offer.
Right.
And it's just completely futile because you have nothing close to what the value of him is.
Exactly. And then you try and pull a third team in and it just does not work at all.
Yeah, and just creating three team deals in 2K is damn near impossible. God bless you if you can.
But right.
I have been, and many 2K franchise players have been, where Magic Johnson is right now, where you just don't have enough to get what you want. Yeah.
You're just going to keep offering until maybe they slip up and say yes.
You're just going to purposely sabotage their team, like change his role, the AD's role on the team to role player.
Right.
But no, I'm fairly confident that a deal's not going to get done, because I think at this point the reports are coming out that Magic and Rob Pelinka are basically saying like, hey, could you like give us a counter offer instead of just saying it's not enough every time? honest to God, what would the counteroffer be, even if they did come back with somebody else? Because they offered literally everything.
They offered half their roster.
Yeah, like, it would be literally, like, I mean, and the thing is, right now, the players have to even up. Like, this isn't just, like, on the offseason where you can go 4 for 1. Like, the Pelicans would have to find and, scramble together, like, 4 players.
Right.
To add into this deal, and I have no clue like what they could possibly come back with that is possibly more appealing to their side. So I don't see this deal getting done whatsoever. And it's also funny to me that Danny Ainge is saying, hey, wait, we'll have a better offer, but we're also not offering Tatum. Like, we're also not promising Tatum.
Right.
But at the same time, if you're the Pelicans, Magic's going to say, oh, this offer, we don't want to get in a bidding war with the Celtics over the summer. Sure, you don't want to, but you're going to in the summer if the Celtics, like, it's Anthony Davis. Like, they have all the leverage.
Mm-hmm.
So he can, like, posture all he wants. But that offer is still going to be there in the summer.
Yeah. So two things. Is AD going to play at all this year? Like, is he going to even risk injury with the Pelicans falling out, I guess I'll say, of the playoff race? I don't think they're technically out of it, but they haven't been playing that well lately. And then I guess what would be an offer that gets Anthony Davis? Like, what are the Pelicans? Is their asking price too high? Is it fair? What do you think?
First question. I don't think if the Pelicans are smart, and if AD, like, I know he wants to play as just an athlete. He's just going to want to
right.
like be a part of the team. But I think it'd be smart for the team just to shut him down because there's literally no
it's
purpose.
The future of their franchise being traded the, right there.
Yeah, exactly. Like they're like if the only thing that stands like the only thing that stands to happen for him playing is worsening their draft pick and him potentially getting a career or season-ending injury. So there's no literally no incentive for him to. For him to play.
Right.
And what, the second question was what kind of offer actually gets the deal done?
Yeah. Or what I guess do you think their asking price is fair? Like obviously I'd put Anthony Davis probably in the top 10 or 12 players in the league right now.
I think he's top 4.
Really? I mean, yeah. I guess if you put it all together like his style of play, his production and his age, that makes sense.
It's I'd say top 4 like trade value. I don't know if he, okay. like right now.
You know well, I guess trade value makes sense because if you put talk about like a guy like LeBron, there is no value of a trade that can get LeBron off of a team. So I guess that makes more sense. But is their asking price where you would have it? Like if you were if like you said if this were 2K and there were unlimited slots, what would you be asking for from teams?
Honestly, I don't think it is too high because like Zach Lowe wrote like in an article like a month ago in December. This is the biggest guy to be on the trading block since Kareem was traded from the Bucks to the Lakers.
Yeah.
And, like, if you don't like the guys that they're offering, there will be teams that will, like, come out of the dark just because it's Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see, like, because people have made the argument, well, like, he's still under contract for next year.
Right.
So you can trade for him. And then also, like, if you know that he's not going to come back, trade him to wherever else next year
right.
or this summer to reap the benefits of the assets that are going to come in for him regardless. Just flip him again. You know, it's like flipping a house. Like
right.
So, like, it's worth it either way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if they don't like the players that they're getting offered right now, I think it's worth it to wait. But also, I think it's hilarious, just side note, that LeVar Ball has stuck his head out of that hole that LeBron has shoved him into and has started spouting off, like...
Phoenix.
And that there's reports that the New Orleans, like, really likes Lonzo Ball, but because of LeVar, that they've kind of pushed off on wanting Lonzo.
Oh, God.
LeVar, do you think, okay...
This is LeVar's time to shine. It's his second chance, redemption time.
Yeah, dude, I'm just imagining LeVar, like, pushing up a grate, like a sewer grate from underneath a main street in L.A. But LeVar has, like, the arena for, like, relatives of players that have, like, are speaking for them has just been too crowded. Like, the area that LeVar pioneered has just been completely overcrowded by AD's father, Kristaps' brother.
I mean, let's not forget Reggie Rose was the first one to do it, or at least the most popular to do it.
Reggie Rose specialized medically. He didn't meddle in the team affairs.
That's true. That's a good point.
But my God, like I think the added drama with like the family members surrounding him and AD Senior texting ESPN about the no loyalty for Isaiah Thomas is just. It's like the NBA is just a circus and is literally the WWE, but for real sports.
Yeah.
As we've said before.
Yeah, it's certainly the most fun offseason, and now that a guy like Anthony Davis is on the block, it makes things extremely interesting. I guess, if gun to your head, where do you think Anthony Davis goes? Like, do you think he gets traded at any point? I think that answer is yes, but I want to hear your opinion, and then where do you think he gets traded?
I don't think he gets traded before the deadline because right. I think the Pelicans are basically done with, they saw the Lakers basically threw down all they had.
Yeah.
And they're like,
they went all in with a pair of deuces and it was not going to fly.
Yeah. Rich Paul tried to force the Pelicans' hand to get to LA. I do not think that worked out, but I think he ends up in, I mean, but the thing is though, this is another wrench that gets thrown in the playoffs. Have huge implications outside of the Warriors winning the championship, the right. finals this year, how teams perform this year in the playoffs is really going to swing where AD and Kyrie look. Like, if the Celtics get swept in the first or second round, and it's just a debacle, and Gordon Hayward looks like looks like a shell of himself. Does Kyrie look to leave and team up with KD for the Knicks? Or does, you know, like, there's just certain things. Like, is Toronto, like, does Toronto go to game six with the Warriors in the finals, and Kawhi decides to stay, and then the Toronto decides that they have a chance to go toe-to-toe with the Warriors, and they make a move for AD. So there's a lot of moves in the playoffs where if a team can go on a streak or go on a deep run of the playoffs or get swept out early, that can make a lot of difference where he goes. But ultimately, I think he's most likely going to end up – I go back and forth between – I think the Clippers with Jerry West are a dark horse to get him.
Yeah.
And or the Celtics. I think those two are the favorites because Jerry West, I think, is just so skilled at player movement, and just Boston obviously has the most to offer. So I think it's between those two.
Interesting. I like that. I mean, we haven't heard the Clippers' name in a while. They've actually been playing pretty well this year, but they another superstar like that in L.A. on the other side of the Staples Center would be very interesting. Get back to those CP3 Blake Griffin days.
Would love it.
Last bit, we have the Grizzlies looking to move their two stars, potentially. You believe that Marc Gasol is on the move here, and then Mike Conley's name has been thrown around a little bit. I guess we were talking pre-show. You say Gasol is definitely going to get traded, and probably before this episode even airs. And then what do you think of Conley?
So there's been a bunch of reports Wednesday night that Gasol's number, or like Gasol's name tag, was not on his locker anymore, and there's a huge garbage can next to his locker, and everything's been cleared out. Mm-hmm. So it's essentially just it's a formality. They're finishing up the deal between Charlotte and Memphis. They're finishing up the evening out the salary that Memphis has to send back for Gasol, or that Charlotte has to send back for Gasol's $24 million, I think he gets this year.
Right.
So I think it's just a foregone conclusion that he'll be there starting tomorrow. And it's funny that, like, a Michael Jordan-owned team is just desperate to get into the eighth seed in the East.
They're trying so hard to get there.
Like, they're just some kind of relevancy. And I think the proposed, like, some deal people are kicking around is that it's going to be Biyombo, MKG, and a top, like, four or five protected first-round pick for Gasol.
That's not a bad pullback.
Eating that Biyombo money is no easy pill to swallow, though. There's $17 million next year. Yeah. So
it's tough, but then again, Memphis is clearly not in a position to play anywhere near competitive basketball.
No, but I love Marc Gasol, and I think that him being motivated again to be in a playoff team, hopefully a playoff team that Charlotte is. And another tall white for Charlotte. I don't know what it is with Michael Jordan.
He's got a type.
And I think Conley, I'd love to see him in Utah, but I don't know if Utah. Yeah, I don't know if Utah. The proposed deal I saw for that was Exum, Rubio,
Jesus,
and a first rounder, possibly.
That is in no way appealing.
Well, I mean, like, Conley is just like
players.
Yeah, I mean, Conley is just a criminally underrated player.
He is. People forget he had the highest contract in NBA history at one point.
I know that lasted, I don't know how long,
35 minutes, I think.
Yeah, was that 2016? Was he another one of the 2016 deals? Yeah, Biyombo was as well.
Yeah.
Him and Jan Mahinmi and Mozgov and the graveyard of Timofey. Centers to get paid.
Evan Turner.
You know, Evan Turner he was bad. He wasn't Timofey Mozgov bad, but
he was certainly not very good.
I'd love to see Conley on the Jazz. And Exum is, like, kind of forgotten about now, but he's a pretty elite defensive guard. So we'll see. I don't know how much Memphis, like how much leverage Memphis has, knowing that like every team knows they have no use for them anymore. Right. So,
like,
we'll see.
It's coming down to the wire, but yeah, we've got the
Utah
deadline.
or Detroit possibly if Memphis wants to take Reggie Jackson.
Detroit would be fun. Pair him up with Drummond and Blake Griffin.
Yeah, I think the Drummond era in Detroit is quite possibly done.
Yeah, I don't see it working that well. I mean, I don't know too much about how Blake Griffin's been doing lately, but I can only assume.
Blake's been having a fantastic season. And before I hop off here, I just want to shout out U of I basketball beating Michigan State tonight.
Best eight win
team in the country. We're back in a big way.
Pete, we appreciate the time, and you know, hopefully the Bulls lose out the rest of the year and we can get Zion Williamson, but we will see. We'll probably talk playoff time and then NBA draft time, but always happy to have you back.
Anytime. I'll be at the game tomorrow night, so I will be seeing the AD-less Pelicans are coming to town.
Wear the Fire Guard Pack shirt. Buy a shirt, everybody.
Oh, I made it sleeveless now. I might have to wear it.
Even better.